This is The Topic is Trek, episode 105 for Friday, December 24th, 2021. Coming up in this episode, this Trek thing may work out for Paramount Plus. You want Grudge backstory? You've got it. We do our best to predict the future. All that and more right now on The Topic is Trek. My God, it's full of sparks. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, The Topic is Trek. Engage already. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another thrill-packed episode of The Topic is Trek. I am Clinton, one of your co-hosts, and joining me, as always, beaming in from parts unknown in the galaxy, don't ask questions, you don't have to worry about it, is Mr. Craig Stepp.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ooh, that's an interesting catchphrase.
Where have I heard that before?
Yeah.
No, I think it's copyright free, so that's good. But
it was from All in the Family, okay?
Well, never mind then. And to weasel away out of that one.
I'm sorry, Chuck's face.
Also joining us is Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
Hey, it's great to be back.
Yes, and how were things in parts unknown when you were unable to join us?
They were very unknown.
Well, that's good to know.
Well, it was a busy week, at about a week and a half. Had some time at the company headquarters in Santa Clara, California, with the team and doing some training and strategizing about the next year or three. And then a buddy of mine and I went to Wisconsin to watch the Packers beat the Bears. So yeah, that was a good
time. Looks like y'all had a good time, by the way.
We did have a good time. Half of my fun was watching Mike have fun.
Yeah.
Well, I think the best part of that whole thing is the optimism that there'll be a next 3 years. So that's good to know. some days I'm just not sure.
And did Craig really beam in from somewhere in this galaxy, or maybe he's from another galaxy?
Are you thinking?
I was just beyond the Great Barrier.
Yes. Well, we'll get into that a little bit later in the episode. But right now, I think you guys know what we've got to do,
because we've got to do it. Is it that time?
It is. We have to. Ask Charlie if he's all set for subspace chatter. What do you say, Charlie? Come on.
You don't need all that subspace chatter.
Oh, it's the holidays.
Why am I not surprised?
Santa's not going to be good to him.
No.
He's on the naughty list.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, so we've all got the holiday theme. You guys have your Santa hats on, and I have a lovely Star Trek Enterprise float behind me that's all lit up right for Christmas parade.
I see.
Actually, it looks like Vulcan on rice. Alberta, Canada.
We got Davey Sitter suggesting a new catchphrase for Craig: "Save the Texas Prairie Chicken."
Aye, monkey's phrase.
That's right.
All right. Well, let us start off with our subspace chatter with the chattering. After 12 years of serving as president of television at Alex Kurtzman's Secret Hideout and its predecessor, Kurtzman and Bob Orsi's KO Paper Products, Heather Caden is leaving to pursue other opportunities.
What?
While her exit is still being finalized, it is unclear yet whether Caden would continue as an executive producer on Secret Hideout's projects in development, which she has shepherded. According to sources, CBS Studios offered Caden a production deal, but after 8.5 years at CBS/Viacom CBS, she opted to go to the marketplace and explore what is out there in terms of opportunities. Caden's, whose deal was indeed up is to remain a producer, is up to being a producer still, or starting her own studio. Interesting thing there. So I don't know if there's much to make of it, because it has been 12 years she's worked, you know, with Alex.
Sure.
You know, and things are going well at, you know, at Secret Hideout, for all I know, at this point. So I think it really is, this actually may be one of those cases of actually going out to pursue other opportunities.
So she's the CEO?
She's the president.
President. What are Kurtzman and Orsi's roles?
Well, Bob Orsi is no longer involved. Bob Orsi used to be Alex Kurtzman's writing partner.
Yeah, they wrote.
Okay.
They wrote the start. They wrote the original reboot.
Right.
Kelvin timeline went together,
and they'd been working together before, and since they worked together on Lost and a bunch of it, but now Bob's off doing his own thing, and so Alex Kurtzman runs Secret Hideout, which is probably why I got the new name rather than the KO Paper Products.
Is Secret Hideout related to Bad Robot?
No, I think it's a separate entity. I know it's Kurtzman's production house, so I think I would liken it to sort of a Bad Robot type of
production. I mean, but Bad Robot's with J.J. Abrams,
right,
development house.
Oh, because I thought I'm getting it all confused, because I often see Kurtzman or C's name together in a lot of productions. You know, back to Fringe, and you're right that I had Bad Robot mixed up. Gotcha.
Somebody's been dipping in the eggnog a little early.
Well,
why not?
Well, just replicate it.
I was going to say,
it ain't synthahol.
That's right.
All right, well, let's head out of the Secret Hideout and onto some public data. What do you got for us, Greg?
All right, so in its first year in report as Paramount Plus, the streaming platform has released some information about consumption of its original content, and it tastes funny. Mm. No, I'm sorry.
No, that's not.
That's the synthahol.
That's right. That's right. There are no hard numbers, but the former CBS All Access service said that in 2001...
No.
I'm sorry, 20... I'm sorry, I missed a two in there.
They would really be ahead of their time if that were the case.
Not even Netflix was streaming this. That in 2021, much better, one of the service's oldest titles was the most watched original program. That show, of course, is?
Star Trek Discovery.
Discovery.
Oh, I was going to guess SpongeBob, but okay, there we go.
Yeah, so in case you're interested, the second most popular original series is?
Star Trek Picard. No, SpongeBob. No, what is it?
No, it's iPicardly. No, it's iCarly.
I must have missed that one.
I've been fixing your typos left and right.
No, it was iCarly. It's the iCarly revival, which I saw this other day, and I was like, are you kidding me? I was kind of surprised.
That happened?
Well, that iCarly was that popular.
Next is Saved by the Bell.
Right. No, I've seen a little bit of iCarly in the past because the age that Harrison was and it was on and stuff. But I didn't realize that it was that popular at the revival part of it. So interesting.
You are in error.
I was a little late on the 2001 thing.
This is Paramount. Yeah. I was going to say, this is Paramount Plus's numbers, Chuck, not mine. I'm not in error.
You were in error on the date. I was just a little slow. You know, okay. Nomad was, you know, in the other room.
Somebody needs to upgrade that CPU.
He was taking a smoking break.
Yeah. Oh, that's my cue.
Well, he started smoking it when he got out-logicked.
Right.
All right, well, let's keep on that Paramount Plus theme because we got it rolling.
We can do that. In another sign of consolidation on Paramount Plus, Amazon Prime Video will be losing all 5 classic Star Trek series in January of 2022. Recently, Viacom CBS CEO Bob Bakish made it clear that the corporation is not renewing third-party licensing deals as they, quote-unquote, roll off. Even though the Star Trek shows will no longer be part of the Prime Video subscription service, this will not affect any previous digital purchases. And you will still be able to buy individual episodes and seasons through Amazon. You can also add Paramount Plus to your Amazon Prime channels lineup. In addition, Amazon has confirmed that they will be streaming season 2 of Picard starting in February in all the same territories where they currently have season 1 available. Hooray! So Amazon is streaming Picard and Paramount Plus will be streaming Picard. Why would people want to jump onto Paramount Plus if they can get their content? I'm confused.
Well, no. Paramount Plus has the distribution of Picard in the United States, and then it's done through Canada on their channel.
Yeah, it's kind of like how Netflix was delivering right. Discovery outside of the U.S.
before. Right, so Amazon then distributes it elsewhere in the world. Now, that's... They funded part of, I believe, part of the production on Picard. So it's like that same deal with the first season of Discovery, as Craig was saying. That's why they were the people who were distributing it, because they were chipping in dough on it. So I guess as this is the Paramount Plus is now up and running and making this commitment to what they're doing finally, that they're saying we're going to take all that funding internally. So we're not, you know, somebody else can distribute it if it's someplace we aren't. So I imagine that at some point, even those places that Amazon is having it as Paramount Plus rolls out, as we talked about the last episode, in more and more countries, that may start to fall off as well.
Well, I do have kind of an issue with this story, by the way. Because you said that Picard starts in February. I don't know that you have it in the show notes. You may very well. But just before we went to record, they were announcing that Discovery's going on hiatus after next week and will come back in February.
We had that all figured out in a couple of episodes ago. Because remember, it was all interleaving the crazy stuff.
Well, that was Discovery's was going to continue to go. And it was...
Prodigy was taking a break and coming back. Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that was coming back in January. And then we figured that was going to be them running in parallel, which would lead into season 2 of Picard. So now it sounds like they're going to trade off. Now that Prodigy is coming back, Discovery is now going on its hiatus. Hey, I need a chart.
I have a feeling that Picard's going to come in. It's going to be one of those things where they say, we'll release it at before the end of the year. And it's like, you know, the last weekend, 2021. Oh, we're releasing. So I have a feeling that Picard's going to show up probably that last bit of February.
Yeah, I think it was easier to figure out the Mayan calendar.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wait, 2012, we're screwed.
Just let me know where I have to tune in when I go to Vulcan, Alberta, Canada.
Exactly. Well, I'm not a fan of these. I don't think anybody is, but I've had this problem before with network television where they'll run 3 weeks of a show, then at 4 weeks of reruns, and then it's back for one episode, and they go back into and they rerun that episode.
Confusing.
Track of when the show is on. It's a streaming service. It should be pretty easy. Now, yeah, you could wait until the end of next year and I'll just watch all of season, you know, 4 of Discovery all at once. But that's not the intent here. If you're releasing it weekly, do it every week the way they had been doing it up until this year when all of a sudden we're getting this hiatus situation going on.
What's even more funny, I was just thinking when you were explaining that situation where they were going on a 2 week hiatus, they come back with one episode, they go another hiatus and come back. You know, that was exhausting back in the 80s when we didn't have, we had VHS tapes.
New t-shirt. Huh? I hate us hiatus.
Mm. It sounds like a species in a Roadrunner cartoon. I don't know.
That's right. Ding.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next story here. Just after we finished recording our last episode, of course, a new Star Trek video game was announced. Dramatic Labs is working on Star Trek Resurgence.
Mm.
According to Dramatic Labs, players will control two characters aboard the USS Resolute as they work to unravel a mystery in order to prevent a galactic war. Now, Spock made an appearance in the announcement trailer, and Dramatic Labs has confirmed players will get to meet other, quote, new and returning characters through a variety of dialogue and action gameplay to determine the course of the story. Choices players make during gameplay will drive the experience and affect the story's outcome. And if you're familiar with this, a lot of the people that work in Dramatic Labs used to work at a company called Telltale Games. They would release episodes. We're just talking about episodes. I don't know if they took a hiatus, but they would release the parts of a story when they were telling stories for other franchises and in regular games. Every once in a while, a new episode would drop and you'd play that through that episode. They've announced that that's not the way Resurgence will work, that it was all going to be there available at one time. So it's probably might still have an episode feel to it, but you're going to get the whole game at once. They haven't announced an actual date for it, but it will be coming in 2022.
In February. With everything else.
Right after Picard season 2.
And right after we record a show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Discovery and Prodigy will go on hiatus and it'll come out in February and then Picard. There you go.
Subject I figured it all out. Change. So don't definitely pencil all this stuff in on your calendar. Even if it's digital, pencil it in on the calendar.
Reminds me of trying to untangle my mom's necklaces when they got all nasty in the jewelry box.
I think we've all done that. Oh, that's funny.
All right. What else we got here, Craig?
Okay. So Factory Entertainment is adding a new product to its offerings, the Borg Queen skull replica.
All right. I want one of those.
So cuddly.
Complete with tingling spine. You know,
That would just look great on the Christmas tree, this skull.
All right. So this collectible replicates the cybernetic skull and spinal cord.
Does it wiggle? Does it wiggle? I want to know if the spinal cord wiggles.
I don't think it does. I think
I'm going to make it wiggle.
Yeah, you can sit there. Anyway, so where was I at? Oh, the collectible replicates the cybernetic skull and spinal cord of a remaining Borg Queen's body after it is dispatched by Captain Jean-Luc Picard in Star Trek First Contact. In fact, Factory Entertainment will offer a signature edition with a plaque personally signed by Mrs. Krieg, the actress who portrayed the Queen in the film. The collectible was copied directly from the surviving First Contact prop.
Well, I hope that's not wiggling around someplace.
Wait, it survived. Oh, there's a sequel in itself. It features a polyurethane resin structure with a chrome finish, as well as various plastic and rubber parts. Each replica has been hand weathered to lend a battle damaged appearance by Patrick Stewart himself. No,
he's gonna punch them.
He beat it with a baseball bat.
That's right. Actually, it looks pretty cool. On one thing, but when you're looking at it closely, it looks like almost like Darth Vader's head with a mullet.
Well, it kind of looks like the Terminator skull, you know, when you're looking at it as well. It's got those, you know, glowing eyes. And it's a mere $1,700.
That ain't going on my Christmas tree.
Yeah, $1,700. What's that?
So if it's going to be personalized, I'd like to have mine personalized by Ms. Krieg as being, you know, to my favorite fan of, you know, the Borg encounter at Star Trek The Experience, because... was nobody's favorite.
My favorite drone. Clinton.
To my favorite podcast host.
That's right.
Patrick Stewart. Yeah, there we go. All right.
let's wrap this up, shall we?
Exactly, yeah. Sir Patrick. Oh, please.
$1,700. Hey, you know what? You can't take it with you. So.
Well, speaking about taking it with you, boy, this is a horrible segue to the story. Chuck, what else we got here?
Sounds good to me. When William Shatner flew to space this past October, the family of one of his co-stars paid close attention. The family of Leonard Nimoy told Space.com they wished Nimoy could have flown too, Sadly, the actor died in 2015 at the age of 83 of a long-term health condition called COPD, or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Oh, how I wanted Craig to read that. But because he's not here, I want to know, did Leonard Nimoy get buried in a photon torpedo tube?
No.
No, darn it.
Not that I'm aware of.
No. Okay. Well, in 2016, daughter Julie asked an artist to create a sterling silver necklace featuring the LLAP symbol. It is a unique item and not available anywhere for sale. Julie Nimoy's husband, David Knight, reached out to Blue Origin shortly after the Shatner flight with the tribute idea and said he was honored to hear back from them within minutes.
Wow.
The necklace launched into space on Saturday, December 11th, aboard Blue Origin NS-19 mission with Laura Shepherd Churchley, the 75-year-old daughter of Alan Shepherd. If you recall, the elder Shepherd lifted off on NASA's first human space flight, May 5th, just a scant, oh yes, I said scant, 60 years ago.
Not the scant.
No, not that. We're not talking about that scant. No,
I had to throw it in there. That we're gonna have just have this like game that we pick a word and you have to work it into the episode.
And if anybody says it, everybody screams.
Today's secret word is scant.
Everyone's gonna scream. Believe me, everyone's gonna scream.
That's right.
All right, and I believe we've got one more here.
All right.
Tell us about.
Yes, we do. So after announcing a run of alien species one-shot Star Trek comics last month, IDW Publishing has announced another miniseries from the final frontier.
Frontier.
I was ready for the reverb.
You want the reverb? Thanks,
do yeah.
It. Hang on. Do it again.
The final frontier.
Very nice.
Star Trek Discovery Adventures in the 32nd Century will be a four-issue miniseries shining a spotlight on four members of the USS Discovery crew. So the first issue focuses on the secret or history of the Queen herself, Grudge the Cat. It is a flashback tale. Get it, tale. Of her first meeting with Cleveland Booker. Subsequent issues will focus on Ensign Adira Tal and Lieutenant Kayla Dittmer and the science officer Linus.
I'm looking forward to that. Also, there are other maladies that he's been having
aside from the cold.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we saw some of his species in Discovery recently.
So I want to know, we're addressing Adira Tal as a they, them. Is that also true for Gray?
They've been saying him.
Yeah, and have I noticed they? That Adira is even saying him, so
all right.
I would use that. It'll be interesting, these stories here. I don't know how they're going to... I have to imagine the one about Grudge. Grudge won't be saying anything other than meow. And Book is going to be the one doing the talking about, oh, you must be, and just kind of giving the cat a history. Because unless they're going to reveal that Grudge really is a queen... from some planet, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. We haven't gotten the universal translator to work with cats yet.
No, does. The cats just can't be bothered to, speak the language correctly.
Well, I've been waiting for the moment when Grudge actually morphs into a person.
would be Professor McGonagall.
I think you think of Gary Seven. That's
a different cat. It really is a queen. Anyway, so
the universe. By the way, the universe is on Orion's neck. By the way,
so that's a different franchise. Now we've gone off.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they could be related. Who knows? Hey, by the way, this will come out in the first half of 2022, aka February.
Yes, everything's going to happen in February, unless the comic goes on hiatus. So
everything gets blocked by supply chain issues.
They're not going to have anything to announce on Star Trek Day.
They're going to announce February 2023.
February 2023.
First card Contact
Picard
Day.
Season 16 and Discovery 12.
Clinton, is there any news from Vulcan, Alberta, Canada? He asks, looking at the show notes.
Not really. However, since everyone insists that they find something, you can read an article that someone wrote for the Vulcan Advocate about taking a tour of homes and seeing their Christmas lights. So there you go. There's a story from Vulcan, Alberta, Canada.
Yay.
Yay.
And how many stories did you find that we didn't cover? He says, also looking at the show notes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he says, looking at the show notes himself, we have links to 30 additional stories. 30. It's kind of slow. It's slow last time around as well, because again, remember, people are preoccupied. You don't want a lot of news happening coming out of PR when no one's paying any attention to it. So a little slow right now. But anyway, all the links are broken out by series and by the movies and other categories in there. I think I've added two more categories since the last time we had show notes. You'll find everything from the one thing LeVar Burton would have changed about his Star Trek character.
I imagine what it is. I think it's plain as the nose on his face.
I'm not sure that's true. Two, a video that answers 10 Star Trek questions that may have always puzzled you. Like, why didn't they just send down a shuttle to rescue Sulu when he was freezing to death on that planet? Now, that one, I think even you guys know the answer to that one, right? Why they didn't send down a shuttle to get Sulu?
It was out of gas.
Well, it's a real world answer as to why
the shuttle was in the shop.
Well,
my other shuttle is a Mercedes.
Not even in the shop. There was no shuttle yet. Yeah. They had not built one. So it's kind of hard to rescue you in something that doesn't exist yet.
It'll be here on Tuesday. So just hold out, Sulu.
That's right. Tuesday. It's always Tuesday.
Let me guess. Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why if you have a episode called The Galileo 7, you have to build a set for it. So then they got their shuttle for it.
Yeah. Hey, I got to tell you, it's an exciting time to be a Star Trek fan, because if you look at the show notes, you mentioned we have 30. Mm-hmm. We've had more, but there some episodes we've done, we podcast about the topic of Trek. There's been like almost none. There was a time when there was maybe one or two extra stories we didn't talk about. Now there's like 30, 40.
And it's also interesting that if you go back through the show notes, you can see that almost everything has gotten a mention one time or another. Like the like Star Trek V will get some news suddenly pop up out of nowhere. Obviously, we're getting news on a fairly regular basis about the 4K update of Star Trek The Motion Picture. So it's like, would you expect to have news about the motion picture at this point? Well, we've got it.
Star Trek V, scientists discover why God needs a starship.
Answer will surprise you.
Answer will surprise you.
That's the name of our next episode.
Right. But all that said, and you can find these 30 stories over in the show notes for episode 105 over at thetopicistrek.com. And now, my absolute favorite part of the show, it's time when I get to say goodbye, Charlie.
I won't do it again. Please, I'll be good. I won't ever do it again.
I want to stay.
Merry Make Christmas, Charlie.
Merry Christmas. He's going to be celebrating in the void.
Well, you know, it's very cold in space, like the North Pole.
Those energy parents just really don't know how to party the holidays away.
Right.
Not big on the hugging either, you know.
Hey, by the way, I was talking to somebody yesterday about how Netflix had this weird description of Star Trek First Contact when it was on Netflix, and pulled it up, and it was something to be it was something like when the Borg show up, the Enterprise crew jump into action into a cosmic romp. That's
cosmic romp.
What?
Like a
Benny Hill episode,
like something. A feel good cosmic romp, you know.
It's a rom-com.
Well, what's funny was I took a picture of it and I posted it on Facebook. All right. But I had to, I pulled it up last night and I was like, look at this, you know, description. Well, this morning on Facebook, it says, from my memories, 8 years ago, and it was the picture that I posted. I pulled up. Was like, that was weird.
You just can't get over that description, can you?
It was 8 years ago to the day when I pulled it back up. That was funny.
I thought you were going to say you moved the needle. Like the next day, I went back and looked and they changed the description. They fixed it.
Yeah, no, it's open source.
Years ago, you posted and nothing happened.
It's like Wikipedia. It's open source Netflix descriptions now.
I'm going to go look and see if it is the same one. Same still there. Still there.
All right. But now it's time to head out on our main mission where we talk about not one, not two, but three episodes of Star Trek Discovery. So we're going to lump them in together to try to talk about them. However, let's give you a bit of details about which three episodes we will be talking about.
Wait, we need an appropriate sound effect.
Yes.
Stupid radio.
Translate that. I was going
to
suggest
we also need to have really quickly spoiler alert because we're about to
That's right.
Spoiler alert.
One.
All right. Let's go over and we're going to go over a little bit about each episode before we start talking about them. And I've put in to the show notes this time a little bit of a background as well about some of the people who we talk about that are the writers and the directors of stuff. So occasionally you'll hear us stop and give you a little bit about who is this person? Who's that person? Hopefully that's fun for people. All right. I will start off with our first one, which is All Is Possible. And this was written by Alan McElroy and Eric J. Robbins. McElroy has written several scripts for Discovery, including Terra Firma Parts 1 and 2, and Robbins was previously a writer's production assistant on the series. Now, usually that's not like you're bringing someone who's like pushing paper around to become a writer. Usually that is an apprenticeship thing. So you're working with the writers, you are a writer, but you haven't written anything yet. So now this is
you are a writer, but you haven't written anything yet.
Well, you haven't written anything for the show.
I know.
Yet.
I'm sorry.
So,
yes.
So this is Robin's first work on Discovery as an actual writer. And it was directed by John Ottman. And a short synopsis is Tilly and Adira lead a team of Starfleet Academy cadets on a training mission that takes a dangerous turn. Meanwhile, Burnham and Saru are pulled into tense negotiations as Navarre nears rejoining the Federation, and Book reluctantly meets with Dr. Culber to address the lingering pain of Quajon's destruction.
I don't think they should put Tilly and Adira together anymore. Look how well it went with that space station, and now they get down to this planet with the cadets, they actually got knocked off course with the cadets.
But that was somebody else's fault. But we'll talk about that in a second. So let's see. Let's have Chuck. Why don't you talk about a little bit about the next episode?
Oh, we're doing these onesie, twosie, threesie.
Yeah, we're just gonna lump them together because we also have another segment to get to.
Gotcha.
Diane's gonna have a hard time trying to keep our ratings separate.
I know. Listen, Diane's going no, don't do this.
Next episode is called "The Examples," written by Kyle Jarrow and directed by Lee Rose. And this is the third episode of Discovery that Ms. Rose has directed. She also directed the yet to premiere episode 7 in season 4, which is coming up shortly. Oh wait, are they on hiatus?
After the hiatus, I guess.
Whenever that is.
In February. Right.
It's about 900 years in the future.
Yeah, that would be February.
Short synopsis is Burnham and Book race to evacuate a group of stranded colonists in the anomaly's path. Meanwhile, Ruan Tarka, one of the Federation's brightest scientists, comes aboard the USS Discovery to flaunt his big ego and to perform high-stakes research with Saru and Stamets.
Poker game. That's what.
All right. And our third episode, tell us a bit about it, Craig.
But don't sing the title.
Stormy weather.
Not even close.
That's okay. Right. We don't have to pay for the rights that way.
That's right.
That's right. So Stormy Weather, written by Ann Coffle Sanders and Brandon Schultz. In addition to episode of The Boys, Battlestar Galactica reboot, Chuck,
what?
24.
No, not Chuck. Not Chuck.
You. What?
No, not you. Go back to sleep. 24. The Last Ship and Timeless, and Coffle Sanders has written several episodes of Discovery, including Scavengers and Sukal from season 3 and Anomaly from earlier in the season. She also worked on the script for the upcoming season finale, and Brandon Schultz wrote the Short Treks episode, The Girl Who Made the Stars, and has worked as a story editor on Discovery since the end of season 2. This is also directed by Jonathan Frakes, which we don't know much. Yeah. Yeah. We don't know who. He was on something in
He's new to the game.
Well, yeah, that's like Farrah Fawcett. Nobody remembers.
He was a key grip for the original series.
He wasn't even the best boy at anything.
Anyway, the shortest synopsis, the Discovery is ordered to proceed into a subspace rift caused by the DMA. The ship soon becomes trapped. Gray attempts to find a purpose on board the ship, and Book is having visions of his dead father.
You know, the DMA, they're going to figure this out, that it's just, it's the place where everybody goes to get their driver's licenses, and they're just going to have to wait for the DMA.
Oh, well, then we're never going to get out of this. Ever.
I thought that was when you needed to file a copyright complaint. You signed a DMA, you know, you filed a DMA and I had something removed off the internet.
Copyright thing that was.
That's right.
I mean, we're six episodes in and we still don't know what it is or where it came from. It's like the data gathering on this is a wee bit slow.
Yeah, that is my biggest gripe, you know, that kind of goes across all these episodes is that. Stamets is constantly in a state of saying, we analyze this data, we'll have clues to the, and okay, you've analyzed that data. And then if we analyze this data, we'll know, okay, you've analyzed that. If we analyze this data, we'll, oh my goodness.
He's starting to look a little incompetent here, buddy.
I mean, I know there's a subtle difference between the things he's backtracking. And now we're to the point where we know that it's from outside the galaxy because why? Because it has traces of the Great Barrier at the edge of our galaxy.
And how do we know what's in the Great Barrier? Enterprise bring you back some of it?
Well, if they had any sensor readings at all from they've traveled there twice, right? They traveled there twice because they went through it. Mm-hmm. With the species that was trying to get back to their own galaxy, and you get to the edge of it with in the second pilot.
Yeah.
When
Gary's eyes light up.
So I would imagine that you would have some sort of sensor reading, some sort of indication of what it's composed of, even if it was something at that point that would be sensors have never encountered anything like this before. You would still have that reading.
Okay. Okay.
So if that reading matched this, then hey, look, it's a match. It's finally something we have a reading for.
So, I thought it took a while to get Picard going. It took 4 episodes to get the band together. And here we are at episode 6 going, I don't know.
Well, and Picard, you can forgive it a little bit because you're building up
a whole new series.
Introduced to these people.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, this is, I'm like, I found myself watching some of these. It was probably episode 5, and I was like, you know, they could have really compressed this down to about 3 or 4 episodes, you know.
And we've got a whole bunch of underlying stuff, like Quajon got blown up, and Book is having a hard time dealing with it, and Tilly isn't happy with her career path, and we have to deal with that. And
don't forget Gray's body.
Gray woke
Gray's
up.
Anatomy.
Yeah, Gray's anatomy. Gray's anatomy.
I guess that works, yeah.
So, yeah, actually, to be honest with you, I was growing a little tired of that whole storyline. I was like, okay, just put him in the body already.
Right. You know? Edwina, Beck and Bull. What did Edwina,
Picard
Beck and
did
Bull?
It in one episode.
Beck and Bull.
Picard did it in one episode, and they were 1,000 years in the past.
Yeah, and he gets name-called in this series as well for having done it, and apparently it doesn't work that well for anybody else.
They also mentioned a couple of things. Are we to assume there is still an Enterprise in the 32nd century? What century
there is.
Are
they? We've seen it. We saw it when they first arrive.
What letter were they on? Because Voyager made it up to J, and we were already, you know, 5 Enterprises in.
BB.
I don't think I.
Actually, they mentioned it. They mentioned it in one of these episodes. The last one, I think, they mentioned Enterprise.
Well, they mentioned the Enterprise, but I think the Enterprise they were talking about was Kirk's Enterprise, because they talk about...
Rough ride going through the barrier. That's right. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Gotcha.
Maybe they did.
Okay.
All right. Was that in the section where they're talking about experiencing subspace? Because that
where they're going into the rift, they said, here's what you can expect when you go to the rift, because Enterprise had this and Voyager had that. And okay, so what are we on about Enterprise Pi?
Pi.
They just gave up.
We ran out of English letters and went to Greek letters.
It's emojis now.
Okay.
Zed.
Enterprise poop.
Enterprise poop emoji. We really got to get this one blown up fast, because we got to get rid of this emoji.
Have you ever tried to blow up poop?
It's like just one with the mind blown.
On a neighbor's front porch in a bag. And anyway.
Yeah, it says Enterprise with the mind blown emoji.
Yes, we took it there. We went to the 14-year-old brain. That's how we're getting younger listeners on this podcast.
Yeah.
Last time around, we talked about how it seemed like book story was, I would say, being dragged out, but at the same time, really,
if your whole planet blew up, I think I'd be in a state of shock for at least two episodes as well.
And I related it to when Alderaan is blown up. Oh, sadness. And now, anyway, back to the story.
Yeah. So, right.
You know, it's good to have a consequence of it. Now, are they going too heavy on it? I think having it go this long, if there's an end game to it, we need to get to that end game as to, you know, why it's gone on this long.
I'm saving it for my prediction.
But I feel like at least it has some meaning, rather than, as you pointed out, taking three episodes to get Gray into the body.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's fine to move on now to the fact that now that Gray is reintegrated, that he doesn't know what to do. And we talked about this, I think, the last episode. It's like, well, now is he going to be able to find purpose? Because he's a civilian.
Yeah, he was saying on episode 6 that he felt helpless, that he wanted to help but couldn't help. And then finally did go, oh, I connected some dots. I better go to the bridge. It's like, you know, don't you need clearance to get on the bridge?
Hey, Captain, I found my special purpose.
I don't remember it working out just like that, but the arm waving and everything. But I may have been looking away from the screen for a moment. I'm not sure.
Gray was doing a Steve Martin. Right. My special purpose.
Well, excuse me, Captain.
And we've got Culber is now also the ship's counselor, and then he's having problems grappling with that.
Mm-hmm. But we didn't see Pollard.
What?
We did see Pollard in the latest episode. We were speculating what happened to her. She suddenly was not there anymore.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, she was around the another corridor. Oh, that's my cue.
She wasn't on the call sheet this week.
Right.
And she actually got something to do, to stare as somebody else gets, you know, blown out into the vacuum of space. Or
so we're still in the position where Culber is not. He's not the chief medical officer.
He is.
Pollard is.
Is she?
I thought he was not.
I'm trying to remember when because we had this discussion before that we figured he wasn't the chief medical officer when the series started. And we weren't sure who was. I don't know if it's Pollard. Is it Pollard or somebody? If it's somebody we still haven't seen, then that's absolutely nuts. So it's got to be one of those two people.
Hey, by the way, where's the captain? Oh, we left him back in the other.
Let me introduce you to Larry, the chief medical officer.
Actually, Linus is the chief medical officer.
Yeah, and you see him go, oh, that's my cue.
Yeah. Linus is always volunteering for medical procedures. That's why he's always sick.
He's still trying to figure out the new transporter badge thingy.
Yes.
Well, it shows Dr. Pollard or Tracy Pollard on Memory Alpha as being a physician. She didn't say anything else. I don't know. I didn't think Culber, because I remember reading that Culber was not the chief medical officer at one point. I was like, oh, okay. So where is the chief medical officer? We hadn't seen him. Him, her, or whoever.
Well, what are titles? You know, I mean, if you're a doctor, that's good enough.
You think he'd delegate the counselor part, though?
It depends if you have someone on board qualified, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you would have to have somebody from Discovery be qualified, because I think it would be really hard, although we see Cronenberg give some 32nd century therapy to Culber, but
that guy is a motivational speaker if there ever was one.
Absolutely.
Lisa very animated.
Cuts right to the chase, and without blowing his head off. Oh, wait, that's another of those movies. Because everybody on the ship has a very unique set of references that not a lot of other people are going to get. Mm-hmm. So unless there's somebody else on board the ship who would be a qualified counselor, I don't think you can have somebody from 32nd century do that job. I don't know, just my opinion about it.
Yeah, I'm going to also throw out a comment that they have way too many commanders on the bridge. Okay, Starfleet's just getting their legs under them, and we put a whole bunch of senior officers and gave promotions to everybody on Discovery and kept them there. Shouldn't they be spreading that knowledge around a little bit?
I don't disagree with you, which I think is one of the points that Cronenberg, and I'm just going to call him Cronenberg, as people in Trek culture like to do, because it's like, he's just David Cronenberg, you know? So
he's playing himself.
As he says to Tilly, you know, you have a unique perspective, a unique optimism that just doesn't exist here anymore. Mm-hmm. So we'd love to have you at the Academy to help these, you know, these cadets out. So I think that that is an acknowledgement that, you know, maybe we shouldn't just have all the eggs in this one basket deal going on here.
Commander Owo, do this. Commander Detmer, do this. And wait a minute, Saru's also a captain, so we have two captains on the... Like, what? This is a little...
Well, you get your captain and your backup captain.
Top-heavy command structure on this ship.
Kind of, captain.
It's kind of like a raid array of captains on board the ship.
Raid 5.
Hot swappable.
Redundancy and striping.
It's two in one. All right, what else? Also in this episode, we talked about Saru a bit. And Saru kind of is just there these past couple of episodes. He's talked to some of the people. He's going to give them a little bit of motivational speech and so forth. But really seems underutilized in two of these three episodes. Mm-hmm. I think the episode when they're on Navarre, he gets to be utilized doing the negotiations with the president of Navarre. Well,
yeah, figuring out why they were there, and that was to unravel why they were there.
He was doing negotiations with
her. Yes, exactly. Oh, let the fanfic begin.
Teach me your meditative ways.
Yeah, this just in, saw some fan fiction about Saru and President of Navarre.
First, you have to sit on these little pillows. I'm sorry, my legs don't bend that way.
That's right. You know, he's actually also acting as a counselor to a degree, because he seems to be consoling people.
Well, make him the counselor. Is that one of your predictions?
Car 54. No, well, it can be. So maybe I should.
He goes back to school and gets his degree.
Go back to Kaminar, old man.
I was going to say something, but that's a good prediction to have. So I'm going to save that for the predictions. Never mind.
I'm just dishing them out now.
That's right.
So let's see.
Nostradamus. Lieutenant Nostradamus.
Yeah, that would be a funny in a parody. Hey, Lieutenant Nostradamus, what's on scanners?
Yeah.
In the fourth quatrain. No, don't give it to us in verse again.
He's like, he's freestyle rapping doing this. No, just tell us what's going on here.
Someone get a translator for this guy, for God's sake.
So what did we think of the episode the our middle episode here, the examples, because we mm-hmm. we have this conundrum of Felix not wanting to leave the planet, and they're torn about it. My feeling is, well, really, Starfleet's attitude, I think, would be okay. I mean, it would be kind of it sounds kind of cold, but the fact that
you have to respect their wishes, you know, right, if Felix says I should pay for my atone for my stuff, and hey, by the way, I might survive anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, but when she looked a little closer, she thought, Michael thought, felt that these people were imprisoned, you know, over and above what they should have been.
But then he admitted, I killed somebody.
He didn't say it was for anything other, you know, he didn't know higher purpose to save somebody else or something. Basically, mm-hmm. he just, you know, killed them.
Yeah, but I mean, I see your conundrum is what I was getting at was, okay, here's some people that, yeah, they're prisoners, but they deserve to live just like the rest of the colonists.
Right, but you can't force someone to and now I had no problem with this. I didn't grapple over it half as much as Burnham did. Like, hey.
He would have just left them?
Well, it's his choice.
Oh, him himself. Oh, the one.
Will. Yeah, just the one. That's okay, what they were grappling over. I mean, I would have gone down there and said, hey, we're going to save your prisoners. You know, you guys, I don't care if you were unjustly incarcerated or not. And if one of them says, nope, I'm staying behind. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. see ya.
Well, and part of the motivation for Michael is what Book was feeling, because he told her that I want to do this. I got to save these people, because he's dealing with his own.
Yeah,
right. I understand more Book's, because Book is not Starfleet, and he now is on that mission to save everybody, and this is somebody he's going to leave behind that he can't save that person. So
we got mm-hmm. Burnham wants to solve everything, Stamets who wants to understand solve and fix everything, Book who wants to save everybody. The thing that bothered me about this episode the most was the final scene where, you know, the colony, the asteroid, is going into the sun, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they get all emotional when it starts burning up and breaking up. He would have been dead so far before that.
Yeah. And my last thought.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the combination to the safe is. Oh, man.
The answer to life, the universe, and everything is.
Say the secret word and you win $100. It's something you see every day.
And I agree that, like I said, I think that Starfleet would back the decision to let him stay.
Yes.
What I had a problem with more than that, though, was Burnham's comments to the president, the head of the thing, saying, well, your planet doesn't exist anymore, so you're basically the king of nothing.
Oh, yeah.
I liked that dialogue.
That was your problem with it, Clinton?
Yeah.
I liked that. I liked that little line where she puts him in his place.
Well, putting someone in their place and saying basically, you know, your entire world has been destroyed and there's chaos now in your, she's basically saying all of you are nothing anymore and we're just viewing you as cargo on our ship. And I know that that's not her intent, but it comes to me, it kind of came across that way, going, whoa, hey.
No, I took it as you're in the position to demand nothing because you have no position. You have no title anymore. You were the mm-hmm. king of this penal colony, and that just blew up. So you're going to have to find another job, and it's not important on this ship right now.
Well, he wasn't in charge of the penal colony. He was in charge of that entire place. So those six people were just...
The penal colony was just a small part of it.
Okay, right. Yeah, right.
Well, my takeaway was, hey, we just saved your collective butts. You can't demand anything. Go back in the hold.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Shut up and sit down.
Yeah, there you go.
I just have a problem with the fact that she basically canceled, and I don't, but made null their entire structure of their society, saying it doesn't mean, that doesn't mean blank to us.
And I'm
And
you got a good, that's a good point, because remember they were trying to convince them, they thought they were going to go in and convince them to leave it anyway. You know, because we don't want to go in and just step on their toes all over the place, because Prime Directive and all that kind of stuff. And they weren't Federation.
Right.
So they were going to, didn't they think they were going to have to convince them to leave, which they kind of did at first.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were all set to be, the prisoners or
when they first got there.
Oh no, they were all set to go. They said, we're ready to leave. You know, we're all set. Then they found out, you know, they did the scans and found out there were those six mm-hmm. people that were not in the area with everybody else. Yeah. And they said, well, who are these people? Oh, them. Don't worry about them.
Don't worry about them.
Yeah. They'll be fine. The tree that Felix gives to Burnham that then goes to the relative of the,
what do they call that? The Lacobi orb.
Yeah. What I thought was interesting is the next episode we see Burnham making one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I went back and I looked at it several times, you know, looking at it very closely. Saru is in it. Yep. And both Giorgios are in it.
Yep.
And Tilly's in it. And mm-hmm. Book is in it. Ash, nowhere to be seen. You know, Spock is there. Ooh. And I'm thinking, it's not all just family, because you have Book and right. you have Tilly and you have yep. Giorgio and Saru.
Sure, connect your relationship.
Where's Ash? It's like, wow.
Contractual obligations. They couldn't show his picture.
I guess.
He's out on his ash.
It was because of Area 31.
I really wanted the computer. What's her name again? Azor?
No. Dora?
Dora?
Zora.
Zora, that's what it is.
Zora
the Explorer. There we go.
Zora the Explorer. I really wanted hers to have like a HAL 9000 on it and a Pong game. I thought this is her family tree.
Being very HAL 9000 this entire.
Oh, yes. Episode. We even heard a very similar line to, I'm afraid I can't do that, Dave.
Right. Mm-hmm. And she also, would you like me to sing a song? And uh-huh. I was like, whoa, okay. Oh, and there was also another.
Daisy, I don't believe Daisy. I can do that. That's what it was.
Right. Another thing that I also noticed in this episode, and we talked about the fact that one of the writers worked on Battlestar Galactica. I thought it was very interesting that they had 33 minutes before they were going to hit the wall, because there was an episode of Battlestar Galactica.
You're right. 33. That was like the first one I saw.
Minutes. Right, yeah. And it was basically every 33 minutes they had to jump. Do another jump.
Yeah, so or they were getting attacked or whatever, yeah.
So I sent a tweet out to the writer of the episode. I didn't hear back, at least as of recording time, saying was that a little like nod?
Yeah.
Perhaps to that episode.
Yeah, because they were all, I remember they were all having to stay awake because they were getting attacked every 33 minutes.
I was also wondering, as the episode was going, and it turned out not to be the case, but as we're getting to the point where all the crew has gone into the pattern buffer, mm-hmm. saying hello to Scotty, who's, you know, you can last in here forever, don't worry about it. I thought, okay, if all the crew is gone, is this the point at which we intersect with the Short Treks episode? Because essentially everyone's there, but they're not there at all.
But Burnham was there.
Right. Well, but I'm saying if she had gone into the pattern buffer.
Right.
Right. Like mm-hmm. at the last minute, because like I can't take this. You're going to have to get everybody out. And so she goes as well. But then I said, the ship is getting damaged. She can't. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out when that Short Treks happens, because we know it's sometime in this time frame that they're in now.
No, we don't know that. We know that she's been waiting in that spot for 1,000 years.
Oh, so it could be 1,000 years from 900 years on.
Boy, right. That ship's getting some mileage.
It is indeed.
Wow, it was an antique once.
It's like, yeah, the Mausoleum of Starship, and it's still going, man.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, I wonder if this is going to intersect with that. And I was going there, but then I thought, well, maybe not, because they're, you know, Burnham was still there, and the ship was actually getting tore up as it went through, and it didn't look that way when
right. I mean, it's,
in the short trick. So
yeah, so I said, it's not going to happen here. But just it was just that moment, say, oh, this is going to be the point, because she's got, you know, she's become aware and blah 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 blah, and
yeah,
you know, all that kind of stuff. Into the she's into the old songs and that type of stuff. Yeah. But no.
Hey, Saru, I did like.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Chuck.
Saru came out with a new catchphrase.
Oh, I didn't notice. What was it?
Greater focus creates greater awareness. I thought that was almost Vulcan.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was a good one.
He heard it from his old lady. You know, back
he's just got to get like a hand sign down, and you know, he'll have his own thing.
It'd be like this.
Yeah.
One thing I did like is when they were all getting excited when they were getting ready to go into the rift, and they did the cross dissolve, and as they were all heading towards the bridge and talking about it.
Oh, I thought that was a little too much excitement. Like, oh boy, a mission, we get to go. Like, calm down, everybody. Well,
hey, I think they were as excited as we were. Oh, finally, we're getting some answers. You know,
Stamets also, will figure it out.
Also, hey. Look, a scene where it's not the bridge. I mean, it's not like the main characters. It's like the secondary characters are having a scene here.
Yeah. Well, that was also my point was, well, one, they're getting excited as we are, because they're probably like, man, this has been dragging on. It's like a big episode.
The only person who wasn't excited was Ortiz. He's the one who got airlocked.
He did. That they said, did he get out? I was thinking, oh yeah.
Yeah, he got out.
He sure did. To find out. Oh, yeah. Out of the ship. Oh, yeah, that. Oh, yeah.
But I do like they're trying to focus a little bit more on the individual characters.
Yes.
Because they need to bring those guys out. I mean, when they first announced that this whole series was going to be based on, well, now we know Michael Burnham, I was like, that's...
Again?
I don't know. It needs to be like an ensemble. I mean, the whole series. I'm talking like, you know, Discovery. It wasn't going to be centered around a captain, and it was centered around one person. And they really need to bring the ensemble in. I think that kind of makes the Star Trek experience.
Right. I think that definitely Owoshikun and Bryce seem to be getting the majority of the other things to do.
Yeah. Actually, I had a note right here. Bryce is awesome. He's like into science. He knows all the soul stuff. Right.
And he knows old stuff too, like sonar. I thought they were going to start talking about the whales.
He named it too. You know, he named what sonar stood for. I went, oh, cool. You know, so yeah, it was the last one, the last episode before. What was he? There was something. He went, oh, I know what that is.
He was in the Riding of the Wave.
I'm sorry. It was the Wave. It was a couple episodes ago. But yeah, he was talking about that and explained the whole theory behind it. Anyway, I thought it was really cool.
So he's going to be the old man now. Hey, give us a history lesson over there, old man.
Yeah. Or it's like, hey, can you channel, you know, Dr. Aaron for a few minutes and tell us what's going on here? Sure.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, this is where Dr. Aaron's making her money, through him.
If we only had a nerd on the bridge, science nerd. Anyway.
All right. Any more thoughts on these three episodes?
Oh, well, yeah. Book's father shows up.
Does he,
though? Does he? Well, that book working through his issue?
I think it's working through something, but he was playing the part of doubt, or not doubt, but playing on his
guilt.
His guilt. You know, it's like, why are you hanging out with these people? You should be doing your own thing. All the things that he kind of wanted to do. So he's been struggling with.
Right, he keeps always saying, let me go out there. Let me do this. Let me take the ship out there. Blah,
you're
blah, blah,
a hunter.
Blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I see why they brought him in, but. Anyway, just I thought it was all right. Yeah, but then I realized, I was like, okay, well, he's playing the part. He's playing that. He's manifesting the parts of Book's problem. He wants to forge ahead and just beat it, bludgeon everything till he gets this squared away.
Which is a great segue for our predictions.
Bludgeoning things?
We're going to bludgeon our predictions again.
All right. So let's do a really quick, we're going to lump, listen, Diane hates this. We're going to lump all three of these episodes together. So we've got All Is Possible, which is, we didn't even talk about the away mission really with Tilly and Adira. So maybe we can do more about that next time around. But All Is Possible, Stormy Weather, and
Examples.
The Examples. So lumping those all together, let's give a rating on 1 to 3. What do we got?
3.
I'm thinking we got 3 in the head. 1 to 10.
What were those monsters that Tilly and Adira ran into?
I don't know. They named it something weird.
Cadets. How about cadets? There you go.
Okay. One to ten cadets. So you named it, Craig. You go first. Lumping them all together.
Oh, okay. The first two, All Is Possible and Examples, I think were, I don't know, I'm just kind of on cruise control with those two. I like the last one better. So I'm probably going to give all three of these a collective 7.5.
Okay. All right. I will go next. And it is kind of a mixed bag, as it always is when we try to do something like this. I think there were ups and downs. If you look at it collectively, you get a little bit more story. The problem is you get a little bit more story.
Yep.
We don't, where we end up at the end of the last episode is not that much further than the beginning of the first one of these three. So on that, I'm going to say I'm getting really frustrated in this.
Yep.
This better payoff, like huge, huge. So yeah. I'm going to give this a 6 for this lumped in together. Probably if I broke it out, one might get more than that, but I'm going to say as a group. 6.
That was the number of fingers I was holding up before you even said it. So I am also a 6 for the same reasons. Let's go already, as Bender would say.
Yeah. Well, I like the last one better than I like the first two. So that's why I said 7.5, but I'm right with you guys.
We knew a lot more about the burn by episode 6 than we did about the DMA.
That's true. That's true. And much better, pacing of, even though it was slow, but much better pacing of, we need to triangulate. Great. We get the triangulation done. And this. So yeah.
This better pay off big time.
Exactly. All right. So we're coming back from our main mission with an appropriate sound effect.
Oh, I can find something in here. How about a sick bay scanner?
Well,
right along with the slow pace of the
show. That's the actual pace of the show.
Right.
Now, this is going to be interesting because this is time for our annual tradition here on The Topic is Trek. Chuck, Craig, and I are going to make our predictions for Star Trek in 2022. But before we do that, we need to see how we did with our predictions we made last December.
Unable to comply. Internal scanner relays have been damaged.
Last year's.
No, we're doing it. And stay tuned because there is a twist at the end of this that you won't see coming. And from our predictions from last year. And
if they haven't tuned out already after an hour and 8 minutes.
I was like, what did we do?
All right. I will go with my predictions. I'll go with my predictions first. And also we're going to find out that we have a lot of predictions that are going to carry over. You'll see why in a second. All right. I did not do that well this past year. My predictions were for season 2 of Lower Decks, Shax's replacement will be a female Klingon. Did not happen.
That was a good guess. Roll that one over.
Yeah, exactly. For season 3. But Shax isn't dead again. Well, it doesn't matter.
Is he?
Yeah. My second one is, and this is going to be a rollover, it will be announced that Mary Chifo will have a recurring role as Laurel in Strange New Worlds. Maybe. So we don't know that one. Mm-hmm. And then the third prediction I made, which wasn't my long shot, and I don't know why it wasn't, at San Diego Comic-Con, Alex Kurtzman and Heather Caden will announce a seven of nine series, possibly with the name Star Trek Rangers. Although I wasn't married to the name on that one. Obviously that did not happen. Might happen in the future, but did not happen.
Still could be on the table.
Now I'm going to mention the just for fun ones. And again, because of the twist, you'll find out why. So my twist ones were, with so many productions moving out of town, Paramount will turn Soundstage 18 into the new and improved Star Trek The Experience. The success of Lower Decks will lead Paramount Plus to announce two new animated series, one for the entire family, Star Trek Gormagander, and one for the grown-ups, Star Trek Emperor Killy. And another adult beverage will be released under the Star Trek brand labeled The Burn. It will be 190 proof rum that will come packaged with a fire extinguisher and an emergency medical hologram.
I was thinking some cinnamon schnapps. Yeah.
So I got a Zippo on the Lower Decks prediction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to roll over the Strange New Worlds one because we haven't seen that yet.
Yep.
I won't roll over the prediction on 7 of 9 because I felt like that was something I was saying would be announced at Comic-Con. So it didn't happen. So I've got one to roll over. But really, I'm going to call it a zero for me. I was on firing on all cylinders last time around, but this time, yeah, I got
very creative ideas nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go on to Craig's.
Oh, boy.
So Craig's.
Hey, the bar is low.
Your first one is a rollover because you predict Eric's will appear as an officer on Strange New Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know.
Yeah.
He appears on our show constantly, but that's not the same thing. So we're going to roll that one over for you for next year. We will see. Now, this one we can't roll over because we can roll this over because this is for season two. You said we will see Worf in Picard season two and possibly Robert Picardo. We don't know. We thought we were going to get season two
last year.
You know, by the end of this year.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
So that's rolling over as well.
Okay. All right.
And then your third prediction, main one was we will have an announcement of a fourth Star Trek film in the Kelvin universe. And so we got an announcement of a fourth Star Trek film, but you specifically put the writer on it in the Kelvin universe, and we cannot confirm that. So I don't know how you want to view that one.
Put an asterisk on it and see what they say as we learn more about that movie, because I'm curious to see.
Okay, so you want to roll over on that one as well?
Yeah, I mean, because we know there's a fourth movie coming. We just don't know if I'm right or not.
He's doubling down instead of taking the half point this year.
Where's Alex Kurtzman's phone number?
Exactly. Get Heather Caden on the line. Never mind. That's not.
Hey, Roberto. Roberto. This is Craig.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Most people call me Bob.
Your bonus ones were Section 31 series will deal with the worms that were infiltrating Starfleet in Conspiracy. So we didn't.
That's a long one that needs to be a long story arc that needs to be wrapped up.
I see. Well, also, just for fun, is Dr. Bashir will be an agent on Section 31. So we didn't get that either.
Yeah.
All right. So for you, it's kind of a zero as well.
We're going to have to think a little more strategically next time.
Well, I think we were expecting a lot more accelerated timeline on the arrival of the series.
Thanks, COVID.
Yeah.
Stupid COVID. All right. For Chuck, we will get news of another Star Trek technology made real. Now, I was going to give you a point for this because they talked about this scientist, former NASA scientist, who had created a warp bubble, but apparently that's not necessarily the case. So I can't give you one for that unless you have an example of something else.
You know, give him half a point.
And then take it away because it didn't.
Yeah, that's right.
It had a half-life.
I'm getting the personal transporter.
All right. You have another one that will roll over, I guess, because Picard season two will not involve a familiar trope, time travel, Klingon Alliance, mirror universe. So we don't know.
Wait. It does have time travel.
Well, we've seen stuff that seems to indicate that there's an alternate universe, but we're not sure what's going on here. Okay. So
Q is involved. Anything can happen.
You want, if you want to give him a point, we can give him a point for that one. I'm okay with that.
Let's ride it out. You'll see how, see what happens.
Yeah, put an asterisk on that one too. Okay.
That's right, a rollover.
Right. I got a lot of work to do before I put this in the show notes.
This is a copy and paste exercise. We haven't gotten anything right yet. It's just a copy paste exercise.
Okay, we will have at least one Ferengi appearance in season two of Lower Decks that will not.
Okay,
and you feel it will not be Quark or Rom or anybody else.
Oh, so close, because there was one in Discovery.
And right, and also there was lots of mentions of Quark. So you if you had kind of finessed that a little bit differently, you would have scored a point on that.
That's right,
man. They I don't think an episode went by without mentioning Packlids and a Ferengi or Quark.
Now you're just for funds, where Charlie X will agree with us, and that's never going to happen. So.
No, it did. Episode 100.
Oh, what did he say?
Sure, whatever you say.
Well, I'm not sure that exactly. I think that was Charlie's evil clone. That's what whatever I think that was. Say. But we come to the last thing, and this was Chuck's last prediction, which he put in just for fun. Hallmark will come out with Star Trek Picard themes ornaments. La Serena was this year's Star Trek
ornament.
So the big winner with 1 point.
No, wait.
Oh, I said half
wait
a point.
For the twist. No, wait for the twist. We said if that comes true, that would be worth 5 points.
Oh, wow.
What a sweep.
I'm logging off. I'm out of here.
Sore loser. This contest was stolen from Craig.
Yeah.
The whole thing is rigged, man.
Yeah. This sucks.
All right. So I'll do a lot of work on these predictions, because a lot of them are just, we're just going to have to wait and see on them. So
five points.
We may pull through on the, yes, exactly.
Maybe I am Lieutenant Nostradamus.
Maybe so. It was so weird. I'm listening going, this week, man, we're just like striking out left and right here with all the predictions. And it's what?
Right.
what mirror universe am I living in today?
And that was a toss-up one going, that's a crazy thing. But all right, so let's go on to this year's predictions in addition to those ones we're going to carry over from. Now, I'm going to start because this is one I just wrote down. And so this is for 2022 because we haven't seen any more episodes of Discovery.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I predict that Gray will become the ship's counselor.
Ooh.
You know, we saw Gray dealing with Zora to work her through anxieties and stuff. I'm thinking,
if you can counselor the computer, you can counselor anybody.
So that is one of my predictions.
And he's always been a nice support mechanism for Adira when he was corporeal or not.
Well, actually, I was like, okay, I can see Gray's going to end up with a uniform here pretty soon.
I don't know if I'm going to say anything about the uniform, but okay, is that a prediction of yours, or just like an observation you had?
Oh, I'll just have
write it down.
About it.
Write it down and make it 5 points.
Hey, observation.
It'll be worth 5 points if it becomes an
observation, prediction. You know, it's all semantics.
So. Yeah, whatever. I think that he'll be more like, you know, Troy. That so kind of outside.
Oh, he'll be wearing a scant.
No, a cheerleader outfit.
Why do we keep going to the scant?
Y'all are supposed to yell.
As punishment, you go next. So, Craig, what is your first prediction?
I predict, and I'm changing gears a little bit. Remember, I talked about the warp affecting space, and I'm changing that. I'm removing that. I think. V'ger has something to do with this in Discovery.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. That's a 10-pointer.
Hey, think about it. In the motion picture, when everything was said and done, V'ger ascended to another dimension, kind of evolved, right? And
V'ger's back and pissed? I mean, because it's like...
Even the motion picture moved faster than this season.
That's another prediction. No. So I have a feeling that V'ger has something to do with this anomaly.
Okay.
That we're seeing.
All right.
All right. You know what you get for that?
That's right.
So Eric's is
I know it's a little out there. It's a little out there, right?
That is out there.
Eric knows you're rooting for him to be on the being on that bridge, so he's rooting for you. All right. So Chuck, what is your first prediction?
My first prediction is that Book is going to seek revenge. He's going to go all out Revenant on whatever it is that killed his planet.
Ooh. Can't
even
it
even after that calming talk by Saru.
Yeah. I was going to say he just had that talk with Saru.
Not going to matter. I think when it comes face to face, he's going to go postal.
Hmm. All right.
Interesting. Interesting. Do you feel it will be to the point of, yeah, we really can't have you around here anymore type of thing? Or
he's going to walk up to him and say, my name is Cleveland Booker. You killed my planet. Prepare to die.
You killed my father and my brother and my nephew. And then just goes on for like a half
and
an hour.
All the trees. But first you kill all the birds. You killed them first. And I was really pissed at that.
All right. Interesting. Okay. I'm going to go into my second prediction. My second prediction is that, no, it didn't. Oh, wait, I'm pasting the wrong thing here. Hold on a second. Prediction went away because I cut the wrong thing out here. What did I put? Oh, that we will get casting news on the next Star Trek movie. I feel like we're going to get to that point where we're going to get some names attached to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I know based on how slow Strange New Worlds and Picard predictions are going along, but I think that Paramount has realized that, you know, with Discovery being the number one show on the service, we really need to start cashing in on the big screen with this deal, and we need to get this latest one going. So let's get going. So that is my second prediction.
A little side prediction. Who do you think is going to be in it?
Ooh, so do I think it's going to be Kelvin timeline or not?
Yeah.
I'm guessing that if they really want to go all in, if they're going to commit, I think they're going to have to go Kelvin timeline at least one more time. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to make that part of the prediction, my gut feeling is that you're going to try to get the band back together for one more go.
I do want to see that, by the way. I did want to say that. Kelvin, time on them one more time.
Okay. What is your second prediction, Craig?
All right. I think, let's see. I was trying to see which one I have. Okay. So along with Strange New Worlds, which we probably won't see for another.
Coming out in February.
Months. Yeah, so February. Everything will be coming out in February.
Big month.
I think along with Eric's, we're going to see some other familiar faces like Lieutenant Kyle. I think he's going to be on there.
Ooh. Okay. That's interesting because I've got a prediction along those lines as well. But okay. So you calling out Kyle specifically or just other familiar faces? Okay. All right.
Well, you said, I know we're going to see a bunch of other familiar faces. We've been told that, but I have a feeling that we're going to see Eric's and we're going to see Kyle. So you mentioned Eric's a minute ago and I thought, okay, I might have put him on here. So Eric's and Lieutenant Kyle.
Right. So Eric's is from your last.
It may be Ensign Kyle, but
yeah, you know. Fair enough.
Yeah. We'll see Kyle on there. How about that?
Fresh from the murder of his family. Okay. Let's go to you, Chuck. What about you? Another serious prediction.
We're going to see LeVar Burton as Geordi LaForge on season 2 of Star Trek Picard.
So you think we're being faked out? That's interesting because
I would love to see that.
They claim no, but as we know, that could mean just hush. Don't tell anyone this is happening.
And then surprise.
Yeah.
All right. I have one.
I found
more.
My special purpose.
Yeah. Waving the arms. I really don't remember. I have to go back and watch the episode again. I really do not remember Gray just waving the arms around like that.
Oh, no. God, time for a rewatch.
We'll see what happens. Who are listening to the podcast, you're missing it.
Absolutely. And because now you actually can watch the podcast. So we should mention that. I don't know if we've really discussed that. How does one see the video version of it, Chuck?
We have a Facebook page called The Topic is Trek. You can follow that and we'll let you know. We have a YouTube channel called The Topic is Trek. You can follow that. And if we get up to 100 subscribers, then we can actually give it a name. The Topic is Trek. You can't have a vanity URL till you get up to 100 subscribers. So help us out, get us closer, and we'll make it easier for you to remember. So we live stream that as we record this show, which is roughly every other Thursday, and hope to see you there.
I predict every one of you listening to this will go and watch this. There you go. Here's another prediction for you.
That was one of your... We're not at the goofy ones yet.
Exactly. I have one more prediction I'm going to lump onto the... Let's hope this show premieres at this point. It's very similar to what you had, Craig. I'm going to say we will see Captain April in Strange New Worlds. I don't know if it'll be a handoff because we've already seen Pike in charge, unless it's a flashback where he gets command from April. But I just feel like we're going to see April sometime in this first season.
It'll be like the beginning of TNG. You take care of this ship and she'll bring you home.
He's that old. Well, actually, I guess he would be old, right? Because
he had served before he even got to the Enterprise, didn't he? I mean,
right. I guess he would be a bit older. Indeed. All right.
Listen here, boy. I've got one. Take care of this starship.
I've got one more serious one before we go to the wacko chop.
Craig, do you have any more serious ones before we
go to the wacko chop? Yes.
Do you have one more serious one, Craig, before we go to the off the wall ones?
You know me too well. No, I don't.
Okay. All right.
He really prepared.
Well, I asked everybody for two. So.
I did give you two.
Yeah.
I
have your two. Okay. Yeah. You have one more serious one?
I do. As we were discussing earlier, I wrote this one down. I think we're going to get, what's his name? Del Rey from Prodigy, the purple kid. I think we're going to get his background story, origin, species, you know, because he's looking for that. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to get some more info on that when they come back from hiatus.
Okay. Because he doesn't know what species he is and no one else knows either. Okay. Yep. All right. Very good. All right. We're going to move on to, if anybody has any weird predictions.
I could really go out there and say he looks like a juvenile Talaxian. You never know. The kids may be purple.
Do you want to hedge that bet or you just want to go with your original?
Put that down as a 5-pointer. I'm going to really roll the dice.
Hail Mary. I'm going deep.
That's a Hail Mary. All right.
Very specific species. Okay. All right. It's way out there prediction. My prediction is that Star Trek Mission Chicago, Paramount Plus will announce the first NFT Trek character. Diddy.
Badgy.
He'll be featured in Lower Decks. So you can own Biddy.
Badgy Bitcoin.
All right. I got a goofy one for you.
Oh, let's go with Craig's first because we're doing round the horn here.
Okay.
All right. So I think that Picard will become a real boy and we'll have Young Picard as a new series coming out 2023 in February.
Yes, in February. Very good.
Well, I got that we can actually influence. We might actually be the agents of change on this one. This show will start accepting Patreon.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow, that's a stretch.
It took us 4 years to get to the video stage.
Yeah,
we're not cheap, but we can be had.
We're moving at season 4 discovery pace around here.
You lost the bidding on Biddy? Well, it's okay. You can be Patreon for our show.
Right.
All right. Anybody else have any off the wall predict? More.
Oh, Chuck had one, I think.
No, that was it. That was the Patreon one.
Oh,
okay.
Did you have another?
I do not have another weird one going on here.
I'm kind of surprised. Clinton usually has like 5 goofy ones.
Yeah, I was busy with these show notes, and the weird thing is that I I had several places where I was jotting down all my notes on my predictions that I couldn't find. So I'm like, I'm trying to remember what was I? And so I may have had scrawled down there other weird ones, but I can't find them. All right.
I have one more slightly out there one. Out there one. The animated show Lower Decks will cross over with a live action one.
Hey. So you expect to see
Boimler on Picard? What do you got going here?
Yeah, you know, like Roger Rabbit looking.
Oh, you expect him to actually look like the cartoon characters?
Yes. The other show? Yes. Yeah. That's where he was going.
All right. So I got to say, Roger
Rabbit. May be an episode of Lower Decks where they have live action video and, you know, I don't know. Just throwing
it
out.
I would have been fine with the fact you would have, I think we talked about before, having the actors who are about the right ages to be their characters be who shows up. But no, you're going full on Roger Rabbit. Okay.
This is in the goofy category.
That.
Okay. What's your revised off the wall prediction?
I will say that Lower Decks characters will cross over with a live action one. Now,
okay.
However that turns out.
Okay. All right. I mean, it's still a bit out just, there, but at least.
You want me to stick with the animated one?
Well,
I'll make another prediction. The animated characters will also show up.
The animated characters will show up on an animated series.
Badgie will show up on Picard. There we go. That's interesting. Because the owner of Biddy says, no, he can't show up there. All right. Those are our predictions. If you have any additional predictions, you can leave them in the comments.
Prediction box.
Please. Please. Yeah.
For over at our Facebook page, the Topic is Trek Facebook page. But other than that, it's time to refill the dilithium chamber. Warp on out of here so I can, we can impulse at this point, so I can make sense of all these notes and get our predictions up in the show notes. For another break. Back. You can find me at Comedy Forecast, all one word, the number 4.com. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and MeWe and maybe tapping on your window. That's kind of creepy. Maybe I shouldn't say it. Anyway, I don't know. It's not going to happen, so I can say anything I want. All right. Who speaks for you guys?
Oh, that was just Malfoy again.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chuck.
You can find us by searching for Technorama Podcast anywhere on the internet. Our podcast is actually over at chuckchat.com. There is a badgie that says Technorama on it. You can click that. You can find us on YouTube and Facebook. All that stuff is Technorama Podcast. Easy enough.
And please don't click on Badgie. That's never going to end well. All right.
Don't make eye contact with him, whatever you do.
It's time to hit the theme, boys.
Wait, already?
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek. Visit our Facebook page or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek,
don't put on the red shirt.
Yes.
That means we're coming back in February, right?
Yeah, I got to predict the last time I say that this year. And yes, we'll be back after the hiatus in February. Don't worry.
I got my 5 points. I'm out of here.
Goodbye.